Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to KimandLavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Kim and Lavoie, Judgment Day on the Wendy's Big Show. That's Tuesday here on The Fan. 2 to 6, Wendy's Big Show. Take you home each and every day. Strawberries are great.
Strawberries
great.
You like
especially
strawberries?
Especially here in the summer. Nice and refreshing snack.
Strawberries don't do anything for me.
Really?
Yeah, they don't have any
chocolate-covered strawberries?
No, it's that one.
World's number one aphrodisiac, if you did not know that.
No, I thought oysters were.
Well, who really wants to eat an oyster?
I do. I'll suck them straight down, cuz.
What?
Yes, sir.
And like,
no, you don't even
like that.
Steam
them.
No,
you steam them.
No,
right.
No, right out the half shell, cause I suck them straight down.
Gout.
Yeah, that's got that. That's got to be a drop. Yeah. Gary just said, suck them straight down.
Straight
that's,
down.
That's got to be a
409.
Drop.
Yeah,
I don't know how that's
said
not
again.
In there.
Suck them straight down.
I really don't know if you can say that or not, but since you said it twice. I wouldn't advise people.
And
to do
I
that.
Said it too. So the FCC is tagging
I mean,
tagging
if you don't like oysters, I mean, who don't like oysters?
This
I
guy
don't
right
like them
here.
Raw.
Yeah.
You ain't supposed to
oh,
eat
yeah,
them raw.
Raw. That's how you eat them raw.
That's how you get gout too.
You don't get gout with them.
Okay,
you get gout.
Raw
you,
oysters.
You will get gout eating red meat. Now, like you say, red.
Yeah, and bleeding, all so. Don't eat nothing.
But not,
raw,
not oysters.
Have you ever had the? Now I don't know if this is a Wisconsin thing. You can guys can tell me if this isn't something down south. The one thing that's always grossed me out. Is the raw beef and onion that
oh,
dudes are
man.
Eating around Christmas
that's
time?
That's in Wisconsin.
No, we used to have that for training table. I was played the first time I ever seen for my life when I was in Wisconsin. I ain't seen that down in the South nowhere.
No. I was gonna say Georgia. They're not eating
no,
raw
we
beef
ain't
and
doing
onion.
No raw beef. But first
okay,
time I seen was I was
that's
at training
that
table.
That's people can't cook. They just do.
I was
that.
At train. No, I was at train. And most of the guys on the team was eating it. They're all from Wisconsin though.
Ain't nobody eating.
And it's that what the beef? What is the beef called though? It's that high grade.
Like grass-fed beef or something like that?
Yeah, but it's the ground. Is it ground round or is it ground something?
Ground chuck?
Yeah. Which one is the best? It goes ground chuck, ground round, and something else.
Ground beef.
You're right.
There's three lines
ground
of beef.
Ground round is a restaurant.
Look that up.
Yeah.
Leroy, y'all know that you're a chef.
Yeah.
He's the executive
yeah.
chef.
What
you should be able to tell us this. Come on.
No. What is it ground chuck?
Ground sirloin
yeah.
has to be
ground
in
there.
Yeah.
Sirloin. Is it ground sirloin, ground chuck?
Yeah. The round
ground
is the
round.
Leanest, and then the sirloin, and then the chuck, and then ground beef.
Do it again, Mandel. Say what now?
The leanest of the cuts, it's the ground round,
yes.
ground sirloin, ground chuck, ground beef.
So the okay. ground round is one that they have the...
That you
the,
eat
That's
the, raw.
The nasty stuff.
Yeah, that's what you eat raw.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, there's no chance.
Is that the high? Which one is the highest on that?
The leanest is the ground round. That's the least flavor.
Which is usually
no,
like
no, that's the not the one. Then.
Expensive.
No, the most expensive one I think is the what?
Probably the ground chuck.
Yeah.
Hmm.
One of them. Somebody called
Either way,
that,
yeah,
man.
I'm not eating.
But yeah, they,
raw
the guys
eat,
you
yeah,
eat that with the with some crackers and stuff.
Yeah, like the rye cracker.
The rye crackers. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
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 Oh, you. This is oh. how. This is how Pops told me. Oh, Bill,
so
you got to try
some
of this.
Just to cook this
you,
food?
No, you got to. No, Leroy. Oh,
what's wrong with you?
You got to have. You just put a little, just a little bit of it. Just spread it on and then
yeah.
two or three onions. And right
pass.
On that cracker.
Oh, yeah, I'll pass.
And what's the other stuff in it? The tube, the liverwurst or whatever, liver something? What is
liver
that?
Liver sausage.
Yeah, you ever had that, Steve?
Yeah, I used to have liver sausage sandwiches growing up.
See?
Yeah.
Liver sausage
I haven't had
sandwich?
Those yeah. in a long time, though. I put mayo on it. Mayo on bread and then
yeah.
liver sausage.
Liver sausage.
Or liverwurst.
Never seen that, Tug. Now he's eating liver and onions, right, Leroy?
Man, pass me that Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Is it coming
liverwurst.
Yeah, liverwurst.
Yep.
Okay, that looks like salami to me.
I like the liver where you take the little white fat around.
It's all mushy.
It's all mushy.
It's like a paste.
It's like a paste.
Yes, like a paste.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the radio. They can't see your face that you're making, Billy.
Yeah, it's like a paste. And they now.
I was never into eating paste. Like my badger, shocked.
Now, like my badger buddy, he used to give it to his dogs, though. When they were.
I don't understand.
When they eat a peel or something.
And Michael's saying it's the ground sirloin is the one that you.
It's the ground sirloin, yeah. It's the rich one, the reddest one. That's got the most flavor.
Sure. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm still not eating it.
Ground sirloin?
Ground sirloin.
And they used to have it like in a like in a bunt pan.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunt pan.
That's right there.
Yeah, bunt pan. They dump it over and they got all the onions. Oh man. My guy, Scott Burgold.
Sounds like he played in like Anago, Wisconsin.
No, I think he's from Wauwatosa.
Okay, that would also make sense.
Yeah.
Just say Tulsa. You don't say the whole
thing. I think he went to Wauwatosa West High School. Scott Burgold. He's about 6'6", 6'7". Big, long nose.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals, I believe. He was on our team. He ate it all the time. I mean, you're going to die eating that. Like, you're going to get like worms.
He's probably one of those guys.
I can only imagine the reaction from all the dudes in the South.
How about this?
Like, what are these
dudes
eating?
How about this? All the black dudes. Like, dude, man.
I found a story on this.
Yeah.
From the Wisconsin State Journal in 2013. On Wisconsin, Roy Sirloin, a holiday tradition for some. Right. The 7 pounds of highly lean sirloin that remained, however, will go to only a fraction of his customers who use the ground beef as the main raw ingredient in a Christmas and New Year's tradition. Although it can also show up at tailgate parties, card games, and cookouts throughout the year, known as tiger meat, cannibal sandwiches, or for those who want to add more class to the appetizer, steak tartar, the sirloin taken from the upper leg of a cow or steer
is
typically served on a cracker or piece of cocktail rye bread and topped with salt, pepper, and onion slices.
Yeah. Get the meat guy.
John's in here. He's from Greendale. John, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
John, you're a meat guy?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. You just read what I was going to say. That's called a cannibal sandwich.
A who?
Cannibals.
A cannibal sandwich.
Okay.
Because it's raw meat, and it's ground sirloin, not on cracker. You got to have good rye bread.
Okay.
Raw onion sliced and salt and pepper, and it's good. You got to acquire the taste, but once you do, it's really good.
Now, are people still eating that, John, or no? You still selling that?
They do, but a lot of people, I will tell you, go to a very quality store to get your meat. You know, maybe one of your big chain stores, maybe not so good.
Yeah,
sure.
Go to a specialty meat store. You got to acquire a taste, but it is good.
So you eat it?
Oh, I eat it all the time.
We should get Paul Roberts on from our specialty meats and
Call Paul Roberts. Get Paul Roberts in here. And he can talk to us a little bit more about it.
I don't know if I can do that, though.
You know those zombies that walk around on The Walking Dead?
Here we go.
You know, have you seen them? Yeah. They walk around, walk around, their limbs fall off.
Yeah, here we go.
They put that out for people who eat no sandwich to come audition for those
cannibal sandwiches.
Yeah.
They put it out, Leroy.
You want to eat raw meat, you're in The Walking Dead.
If you were told something was a cannibal sandwich, would you even bother to touch it? I wouldn't. I'm just telling you right now. If somebody said, hey, Spark, here's a cannibal sandwich. Try it. It's good. Right. I'd be like, no.
On some rye bread, Spark.
Right, no.
But Steve, you're white. Try it. You're white. Try it.
No.
You got to try all the good things once.
I don't know, but could you imagine how soggy your bread would be with all the blood leaking out?
Well, I feel like you just got to mow it down. So, one, you don't taste it. And two, all the juice doesn't soak.
I mean, would you have that with a Beaufortine, too? I wonder. Would it go down?
Better drink it down with something.
Oh, yeah, no. A Beaufortine could clean it down. I mean, that's for sure. That's primarily because.
If you got that, what Beaufortine would you drink with that one?
The triple ale, because you know 8% alcohol by volume, Gary. I think the 8% could keep me in line a little bit while I was going. I mean, in line, like flushing. Line
yeah, because you don't want to. Because you would think you get some tank worms beside you, Leroy. You don't want to.
No.
And that 8% alcohol could kind of burn some of the stuff out. That could burn some of those worms out of there.
Now you think,
guys, this summer.
Yeah.
Go with all natural. Go with Beaufortine beer. Like Gary just said, you got to go with something that's all natural, something clean, something good.
Hey,
it's important from the country of Luxembourg. Beaufortine is new to the United States, but it's being imported exclusively to the state of Wisconsin by a local company. We all like local guys, and that's what a family-owned brewery in Luxembourg is doing to here in the United States. Most preferably in Wisconsin. Bofrating 100% natural, brewed using the finest raw materials. Not raw meat, but raw materials. We're talking about fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. The fresh spring water, guys, I'm telling you, is from a special source. 1,000 feet directly beneath the brewery. Since the water is beer's most important ingredient, this exceptionally pure water gives Bofrating its fresh taste and smooth drinkability. You'll notice the difference when you drink a crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple ale, 8% ABV, or the balanced brew, which is 7.2. And thanks to Bofrating's 100% natural ingredients and the commitment to quality of all its brews, it gives you the full flavor that's refreshing rather than filling. Bofrating available in more places in Milwaukee than ever before. Go grab a six-pack of Total Wine and More, Sendix Fine Foods Consumer Beverage, or enjoy a fresh tab at Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, the Nomad, or Sport Club. Guys, and whenever you're having a Bofrating, tweet your all-natural pictures, not all of your all-natural pictures, to Bofrating Bill. Use the hashtag Bofrating Bill. It's Bofrating, Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. I might just come out and have a Bofrating on you. It's the Wendy's Big Show. We're not taking more calls on this raw beef thing, are we?
No,
that,
man.
That's like a real thing. Okay, no. Good, because I was going to say, right. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom or anything. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, NBA Draft coming up on Thursday. The Wendy's Big Show will be live from the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2 to 6, 2454 South Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Come on out, hang out with the Big Show during the Big Show. And then after, myself and Ryan Horvath will take you through the NBA Draft starting right at 6 o'clock up until the end of the Brewer game. If the Bucks haven't taken that 30th pick yet, we'll stick on with a little bit with Tim Allen for the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show that night. But we'll talk Bucks and NBA Draft Thursday night on the Pro Hoops Draft Party here on the Fan, myself and Ryan Horvath.
I'm guessing that pick gets traded. I'm guessing they don't make a pick.
Have you done a draft show where the Bucks didn't pick?
Nope.
So this would be a maiden voyage for the Fan, doing a draft show when they didn't have a pick.
Yep.
That would be something else. I'd be fine, because I'm really excited just to see, my number one storyline, and this is selfishly, I want to know where Tyler Hero goes, because he's going to go somewhere in that realm from, like, all I'm seeing is 12 to, like, 18.
Yep.
And that Boston pick right there at 14 is sitting like a great situation for him.
Based on what I've seen on social media, Celtic fans want him.
Yeah. Sharpshooting guy that's got a little cockiness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. J.J. Redick?
Yeah.
You think he could be that? Like, the most hated dude? Like, J.J. Redick for a long time was the most hated white dude in pro sports.
Well, if he's a punk, he's going to be hated, yeah. If he's not a punk, then he won't be.
He's kind of a punk. Yeah,
yeah, no, he's J.J. Redick, because that's what people compare him to.
That would be fantastic. J.J. Redick made a lot of money in this league.
He's a shooter.
Well over $100 million. We said, yeah. Josh McCown, 17 years in the NFL, made $51.3 million in his career.
You're going to make money if you can shoot.
And also, if you can hit the baseball, you're going to make money. And the Milwaukee Brewers have a lot of guys that, Sparky, that they're not necessarily hitting the baseball as you would have expected the Milwaukee Brewers to do at certain parts this year. What player has been the most frustrating to you this season? Or in that sense, there have been so many guys that have been so frustrating. So let's keep that on the other side. Have your expectations changed for this Brewers team right now? Sitting half game up in first place over the Chicago Cubs?
No. No, they haven't changed.
Doesn't appear they're going to go 18-6 in the month of June, and
no,
as you said, they would have to win
apart.
The rest of their games in the month of June.
Yep, no, that's not going to happen either. It took a lot of restraint for myself last night not to absolutely lose my mind on Twitter last night,
because
I was seeing Brewer fans just acting like this team was 15, 20 games under 500 and was horrible. I was amazed by just the absolute anger from some of these people. Like, you would think they were in last place in the division, 10 games out, and the season was pretty much about done at this point because they couldn't beat a bad team. That's what it looked like to me. This did not look like a fan base that's sitting in first place over a team that's got, double the roster money spent of the Chicago Cubs. They're in first place. Now, I get that they haven't played all that well. I get it. Totally get it. Did I have higher expectations on this road trip? Absolutely, I did. Should I have been smarter knowing that the West Coast always presents problems for all these teams coming from the Midwest and East Coast? Probably. But I really thought the Giants and Padres were simply just that bad. But apparently not. Apparently they're good enough to take on the Brewers in San Diego. And now tonight you get another guy making his major league debut pitching for San Diego, which will always spell doom for the Milwaukee Brewers and probably another loss. But no, they haven't played their best baseball. Some of these guys aren't even close to doing what they do, what the back of their baseball card says. Now, Aguilar doesn't fit into that because Aguilar only had a small sample size of success. So forget that. But Lorenzo Cain is not going to hit 247 the rest of the year. 245, whatever the hell it is.
He's not going to have a non-base of 305 worse than Jesus Aguilar?
No.
Okay,
good. It's just not going to happen. He's going to get himself going, and he will be fine. He just is. And same with some of this the other pitching fiascos that they got going on. With everything going wrong, they're in first place. And there are Brewer fans acting like the world is ending and the season is over for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, maybe some of you were overly tired. Maybe some of you had too much to drink.
That could have happened.
I don't know what the hell was going on last night, but it was absolutely ridiculous seeing some of what was being tweeted out there on Twitter last night. And again, it was a West Coast game, late night start, so who knows the reason for some of you tweeting what you were tweeting, but just settle down. Just relax. You're in first place. It's fine. They're not playing well, and they're still in first. They haven't gotten on a run yet. They will, but they haven't yet. And when they do, if the Cubs don't get on a run at the same time, they're going to start to pull away. They have a relatively soft schedule, even though you can't tell it in the last series or so.
Mm-hmm.
Soft schedule between now and the All-Star break. There really are no big-time playoff teams on their schedule between now and the All-Star break. None. Pirates, Reds, these guys. They don't have really any tough teams at all left between now and the break. This is where you hope they make up some ground here and get to maybe 10, 12, 15 games over 500 if they can get on a run going into the All-Star break and carry some momentum. Changing expectations. No, I'm not changing expectations. I'm just could not believe it last night.
Your expectations were that they were going to be a 90-plus win team and competing for a chance at the playoffs, right? 88?
Yeah, 88, 89, something like that. Because I just didn't think they could go back to 95 again or whatever it was last year. I didn't think they'd get back to that win total necessarily. But I thought they'd be good enough to contend for the division and a wild card. And then see what happens at the deadline. See what happens when you get into the postseason. Anything can happen once you get into the postseason. So, no. My expectations haven't changed.
Gary, have your expectations changed for the Milwaukee Brewers?
NLCS, bro.
Get back to the championship series.
Yeah. And until I see different, it's a weird year, though. I get why Brewer fans are so freaked out a little bit. It's a weird year. Listen, the Cubs have spent an enormous amount of money to be where they are. Don't you think they're freaking out? They got to be. It's just been a weird year.
And they didn't have that kind of success last year. They had a bunch of wins and then got bounced 2 days into the playoffs.
Yes, it's been a weird year. They thought they'd spend more money on pitching, which they did last year. It didn't work. They did again this year, and nothing seems to be working. The Brewers are right there. Yeah, Steve is right. They're not playing their best baseball yet. And we'll get into a little bit more tomorrow, but there are a lot of guys who are underachieving right now.
No doubt. And there's a bunch. And there's a reason why you should be frustrated. You should have frustrations.
That's frustration. But just look at your division itself. Kind of tells you how this baseball season is going.
And it's also like you just said, Gary. It's a baseball season.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot of ups, a lot of downs,
ebbs and flows.
Craig Counsell always says, "Enjoy the ride." And like you said, Sparky, 6-4 in their last 10. They're continuing to move through.
If you're doing sports, best advice I ever got from a coach. He says, "Don't get too high with the highs." And don't get too low with the lows.
It's
tough to do. It's tough to do. You want to be somewhere right there. You want to ride right there.
Man,
in the middle.
Fans don't react like that.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's tough to do.
Yeah, and it's one reason why I've, in the last couple of years, covering the team and doing the post-game show and the pre-game shows as well, it's something that I've learned to really admire about baseball players, Gary, because they can do that. Because
that's what they have to do.
They do. They have to. Because you always talk about how you have to talk to the media every single day.
Yeah.
You're Craig Counsell, you have to talk twice a day to the media.
Before and after.
Before and after.
Couldn't do it.
And you're still sitting here 8 games over, but Brewers fans are very, very angry for some reason. Justin's in Menominee Falls trying to explain this to us. Justin, you're on the big show.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
You know, I really like this topic. It's interesting to me because I don't have Twitter. However, I do have Facebook, and I do follow a lot of the comments, the fans chiming about. You know, and I can honestly admit I'm probably one of the frustrated fans as well. And it's a hard topic to pinpoint of, like, why we're angry. I think it's more of the less – I think it's we're impatient. And I think it's because the Brewers had such a successful season last year, and maybe we didn't really realize that they were that good. So I feel like, at least my opinion, maybe we've regressed a little bit from last season because they haven't gone after any ace starting pitchers, you know, and we're losing to teams we should be beating. So, you know, as a fan, I'm a little disappointed because I would love for the Brewers to be shutting out these crappy teams. But that's my opinion, so I'll take it from there.
Appreciate it, Justin. And I understand that feeling. You want to beat the team, Sparky, that you're supposed to beat. But to what you brought up and how crazy it was last night on social media watching the reaction after the Brewers lose 2-0 to the Padres, and Yolisha Sean's first game back after missing about three starts with some lower back tightness, who hadn't pitched well at all up until that point. You get Freddie Peralta in the bullpen, 2 1/3, gets out of a big jam,
yep.
Looked good. Could probably be in there if that will be acceptable to some. We're not going to get into that conversation. But it felt to me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Sparky, it felt a lot very similar in the reaction that Bucks fans had when you lose to Phoenix. Like, how are we losing to Phoenix?
Yep.
But those guys also do get paid over there on the other side as well, even though they play for the Suns.
Yeah, that does. I don't care about that. I don't care how much they get paid. They suck. They suck. You're the best team in the
Manny
NBA.
Manny Machado hit a big home run.
They got more talent.
There were a lot of classy things being said by Brewer fans about Manny Machado after that home run, too. Oh, boy, were there. Oh, my God. They were losing their minds.
But Jesus Aguilar says, we have buried the hatchet. We're all good. It's all fun.
Well, that's good for Manny Machado.
We have the same agent. It's okay.
Yeah, that's good for Machado.
All this is coming off of getting beat 16-0 from the Marlins, who were a terrible team.
You don't be talking about that game still as you.
That's what I'm saying. That's why people are frustrated, though. I can understand it because these bad teams are blowing you out and beating you and shutting you out.
It was 2-0, man.
You didn't even score against a pitcher that come out that we could probably hit 300 on. That's why they're frustrated. I don't understand why they're on top of the bridge. Just trying to jump off the bandwagon.
Don't do that.
But I can understand that frustration. These are because you know what? You missed a game. You missed, you know, going to World Series by one game. So these are the games that you're throwing away from teams that you're better than, supposed to be better than.
And this is how you stocked up the best record in baseball and had Game 7 at your place last year.
And for you guys not to acknowledge that, some fans thinking, y'all are not taking this stuff seriously. We just forget about it. We just got shut out by the Padres.
Oh, I'm taking this thing very seriously.
You know what else is
so seriously, the biggest game of the year is tonight.
They don't have that pop.
You sound like a coach.
The Brewers don't have that pop or that magic that they had last year. It was more of a magical run last year. And they don't have that.
Well, it's because you hadn't been there in so long.
Right, and it feels like a grind.
But you had so many guys hitting home runs. So they're still number one in home run National
last
League.
Last year was a grind, though.
No.
Home run
There
was more magic last year.
There were three walk-off homers in the first week and a half. And then that magic ceased for 4 months.
Yeah, maybe you say that, but I'm just saying last year felt there was more magic.
I totally agree.
Around this team.
100%. More
because you hadn't been there, though. Now you have been there, so that was the magic.
That could be what it is. I'm not denying that.
Sure.
I'm not denying that. But I'm just saying it had more magic. And maybe that's what the magic was. It just felt like every so often there was something happened, that they were doing something, home runs or whatever.
Like Mike Moustakas hitting a 14th inning home run against the Houston Astros.
Huh?
Remember they used to rip off the jersey?
Huh? Yeah. Scott Farrell saying Eric Thames.
This year feels like
a pro wrestler.
This year feels like a struggle. Just a struggle.
Well, that's baseball.
But yeah, just grinding.
Baseball's struggling. It's tough. It's not easy. Yeah. It was one of the most imperfect games in the world.
Imperfect.
And when you're a fan, man, you want to be a perfectionist. Like Dean Murray, man, he is a perfectionist looking at those diamonds.
Yeah, Dean is the man. Matter of fact, Gary, I'm going over there today because my guy Scott Brooks is going to make a nice selection. So we're going over to the Layton.
76 in Layton.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Layton Plaza.
You got two other locations, but that's one of my favorites.
In Brookfield off Blue Mile Road and Tri-City National Bank building right there on the second floor. And they got that new location for you folks out there in Burlington, Wisconsin. My good friend Dean Murray, I can't talk enough about him, how great of a guy he is. and the great business that he has. Guys, he's in the business to save you money on a piece of jewelry that you want to buy in his store. Good, good family man. He's always at his store. Most of the time, he's at the 76 and Layton store. You want to walk in and just, hey, where's Dean Murray? And guys, if you do say that, you're going to get the best possible deal on any piece of jewelry that that he has in that store. And you know, I tell you this, folks, all the time, 100%, I'm on scholarship, still am. I want to pass my scholarship savings on to you folks. And so if you're looking for a piece of jewelry for your girl or your guy, shop TJC.com. You can do that too as well online. Or I like to go in person because I like to see Dean when I walk in and all the good people there at the store. Go walk in the door and see Dean Murray and tell them the guys from the Big Show sent you.
Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, still on Twitter at 105.7 FM. The Fan, poll up your chance to win Summerfest tickets today. Would you want to see Brett Favre as the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers?
Nobody wants to see that.
Over DeShone Kizer and Leroy's boy, Tim Boyle. More next on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, Steve
big
Sparky
show,
Pfeiffer.
Big show, big show.
Gary Ellerson's that voice that you just heard here.
Big show.
Leroy Butler likes to throw up the jazz hands, right? That means that he doesn't know what's happening. Kind of like, Jet. I don't know. Roy I don't got any answers. Chris Paul just threw up the jazz hands. People have been saying, Bleacher Report put out, James Harden and Chris Paul's relationship is, quote, unsalvageable. CP3 demanded a trade, and Harden told the front office to choose between them after losing to the Golden State Warriors. This from Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. Chris Paul responded with, that's news to me. Anybody buying Chris Paul?
No.
Saying he had no idea that he had demanded a trade, and James Harden said, either him or me.
You had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin issues with the Clippers, and to nobody's surprise, now apparently there's Chris Paul, James Harden issues. Again, he seems to be a problem. That's what it appears to be.
Who seems to be a problem?
Chris Paul. So either that or he just happens to keep running into bad teammates. I guess that also could be an issue at this point. But he's older. He's on the other side of his career. He's getting paid a stupid ton of money. I don't know who looks at this and says, oh, yeah, we'll take him. Unless you are a bad team trying to sell tickets.
Like the Orlando Magic?
Atlanta Hawks. I mean, in that situation, but what do they have that Houston's going to want at that point? That doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you trying to get back in return there for Houston? Houston wants to win now, like Leroy says, like the Lakers. They're not trying to wait on draft picks for 5 years.
Who cares about that?
They're trying to win right now in Houston. So if they're going to trade Chris Paul, they're going to want a star player coming back the other way. So what's it going to be, Chris Paul for Andrew Wiggins? And then it's Harden and Wiggins in the backcourt? Good Lord. I don't want to do that.
I heard some of that conversation yesterday, Leroy, and I thought it was a great point because, sure, it's great to say we have all of these prospects. We have all of this capital that we can make a big move. Look at Danny Ainge. He's been sitting on 17 first-round picks for the last 4 or 5 years. But also, if you're not Danny Ainge and you played for the organization, everybody loves you in that organization, you're not going anywhere. All these other general managers are looking at each other like, I got to make a move or I'm going to get fired. Look at Ryan Pace. He gives all those draft picks away last year, goes and gets 52 Khalil Mack, and he's got job security for the next 3-4 years.
Absolutely. These teams and most organizations are now, they're not talking about the future. It's about now because the fan base wants to win now and they want to do anything possible. So this Laker thing, that's just the beginning. Your team, if your team has a superstar, he's going to be exposed now. Because some team may call them up and say, man, listen, we'd rather give you our draft picks for the next 10 years if you want. And whatever money possible, but we want your superstar. And some of these teams may say, you know what, I can get, wait a minute, I can get my first round pick there for the next 10 years or 7 years or 5 years straight and get some players back. And I'm going to save a lot of money and I don't have to give this guy a super max. I'm doing that. And you explain to the fan base, yep, but we'll own the future. Maybe that wouldn't be a good reference to use that, but we'll be good in the future.
Soon enough, that one actually did work.
Because that own the future thing, no. I like what I saw last year, okay? I'm not waiting on no draft picks.
You like built to stay.
Yes.
Built to compete.
Free agency in football and basketball is different because with football, you're going to have to be good in the future at some point. You're going to have to. You can't trade or you can't do what the Herschel Walker and the Dallas Cowboys and you know what the Saints did the entire draft. You can't do that in football. But in basketball, you can do it. Because really, to be honest with you, only two or three guys get the money. The rest of everybody else, they just kind of get slotted down. Before the draft Thursday, some team is going to offer somebody superstar or somebody up under a superstar five is something similar to what the Lakers did, and they're going to have to think about it, how high the picks are going to be or whatever. Because let's get honest, after you get the seventh pick or maybe even the fifth or sixth, you don't know these guys, man. You don't know how these guys are going to turn out. You just don't know. So you're going to package all this up to try to get a guy that you know and let's go for it. Because we just saw what Toronto did. They went all in. They got, okay, DeRozan, don't move him. Everybody loves the guy. He's the best friend, Lowry, whatever. Listen, I can get Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to do this. I don't care if it's for 1 year. It's worth it for me having that parade. It's worth it. And your fan base is saying, you know what? I'll give them some leeway because at least they're going for it. Because some people, whether you like him or not, they don't see Chris Middleton as going for it.
Sure.
They don't see it.
As Jordan Brenner of The Athletic said earlier today on his piece, says that one Western Conference executive is saying that Chris Middleton's basically telling teams, I'm staying. I'm going to be there.
Good for him.
A little less than the max, but I'll be there. And it doesn't appear that too many
hometown
Bucks fans are all that happy.
I like hometown.
Although
discount.
I'll say this in the mention, Sparky, it was a lot more positive than I anticipated it being for Chris Middleton reportedly going to be with the Bucks next year. Little bit less than the max. Little bit. Not too much, but little bit.
A little bit.
You know, I think when you're looking at this whole situation here, talking about a little bit less than the max or whatever the case may be, is there a right price for a player if they're not a superstar player?
If they're not like the best player in the league.
If they're not top 5 player, top 10 player in the league, is there a right price for that player in the league? Regardless of who you are.
That's a good question.
Regardless of who you are, right? So let's say it's Lorenzo Cain for the Brewers. So people banged on that signing when they signed him nationally
and 5 years, 80
because
million.
They gave him the fifth year. It wasn't how much
the only way they
it
could
was
get him,
well Kane jumped right. at it once they offered the fifth year boom yeah, I'm
absolutely.
In I'll take it
yes,
right
get him.
And that's how that deal got done. So essentially what happens is sometimes you got to make that calculation. The Dellavedova thing with the Bucks, right, where yeah. they were bidding against themselves essentially, they made that deal. Why did he take it right away? Because he wasn't gonna get it from anybody else. Eric Bledsoe, that deal that he did, we had Eric Name on. What did he say? He thought that it very well could be that his agent started snooping around, realized he wasn't going to get a better offer, so he took it while he had the opportunity. So I don't know. I think you get in a situation where you just don't it's as a fan, I can sit on a sports talk show and go, boy, that Dellavedova deal was stupid. Boy, that Larry Sanders deal was stupid, or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, regardless if Leroy likes us or not, these general managers and owners have to project how good this player is going to be and then where does that level of play rank against everybody else. And at the same time, factor in what players can you get in here for the same amount of money with the same type of projection of the player you're going to give all that money to.
So, Sparky, in this same vein, I find it interesting. One, first off, what was the reaction for you guys yesterday on the AD trade?
Not much.
Not too extreme.
Well, these fools. These two. The question was, how many championships are they going to win? That was our question.
Sure.
Two.
Right. Yeah. He said two. Leroy said three. I said zero.
Under LeBron's current contract, which got three more years.
Yes, sir, two.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. As is.
Yeah. Two.
So he said two. Yeah. Leroy said three. I said zero. People on Twitter, for the most part,
wide
said
open
zero,
next year
as well. So yeah, I'm just not there. A because LeBron's getting older. He's not playing as much defense as he's played in the past. Anthony Davis and his contract, He hasn't been all that healthy either. But as they pointed out yesterday, who was the guy that you pointed out yesterday that hasn't been all that healthy either?
Kawhi.
It has been more hurt than Anthony Davis has in his career this point, and he's going to get paid a ton of money as well. I don't know how that works. I think they need a lot more pieces around those two before I'm going to sit here and start talking about them winning championships. They got a lot of holes to fill in that roster before you know how good they're going to be. Those two by themselves with Kyle Kuzma isn't enough for me.
So I like Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, two. They get two out of three. No doubt about it.
Kuzma's going to be a star, man.
Listen, LeBron took last year off.
A little redshirt year in the middle of the career.
He got hurt.
Michael Jordan got a year and a half as a redshirt.
Yeah. He'll be back next year. Don't kid yourself. LeBron knew we knew what he had. He wasn't trying to do all that no more.
I'll say this in the NBA standpoint.
He was helping it, we were four.
Go ahead.
Missed a bunch of
in
games.
A month and a half. Let's keep that into perspective. In a month and a half. It was a month and a half.
Keep it in perspective, Leroy. Come on.
I'm definitely cheering for it to work. I don't know how well it will
work. Cheering for what?
But I'm cheering for it to get LeBron back to the top of the mountain. Get back into the conversation of always playing in the playoffs. Because it was not as fun without LeBron in the playoffs.
That is true.
I mean,
I would agree with that.
The playoffs weren't nearly as much fun without LeBron James.
I would agree with that.
And the NBA TV ratings showed that. And I think Adam Silver had to look himself in the face and look in the mirror without a Harry's razor, realize... didn't look all that good. Got to fix it up a little bit. Clean it up.
That's right.
$3. That's all it takes. $3.
All tight.
You can do
all
$3.
You hear that? Oh, goodness gracious. All guy takes a day off and he can't even speak.
All it takes.
Did you hit the golf ball yesterday?
Yeah, did you?
The first 18 hit the ball real well, had a lot of fun. The next 9 was difficult.
Oh, you played 27 holes.
Yes. We thought about being real ambitious when we made the purchase of the next one. We were going 36.
Oh.
And then we realized that was a little above the bridges for the alumni that we were finding ourselves with.
Yeah, understood.
Us 25-year-olds could not do it. Too much drinking.
Too old already.
Hey, was brutal. I felt so young, so old.
Did you know that the average guy spends 3,000 hours of his lifetime shaving? I didn't know that until Harry's Razors told me, and that's why I'm telling you. I love my Harry's Razors. Nice, smooth, close shave. My dad loves his, too. And if you were smart, you got your father the Father's Day gift from Harry's Razors that we talked about all last week. Now, don't waste 4 months of your life overpaying for poor-performing razors. Invest that time with Harry's quality shaving supplies at a fair price. Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of paying for overpriced gimmicks. They combine a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Harry believes in the product so much, they'll give you your money back if you don't love your shave. I'm talking about $3 here, seriously. That's 100% quality guarantee that you're not going to need because you will love your shave. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of The Big Show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code SPARKY at harrys.com. That means you can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code SPARKY at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com right now. Join the 10 million who have already tried Harry's. Use code SPARKY at checkout to claim your offer and let them know I sent you to help support The Big Show.
Wendy's Big Show back with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane coming up here at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We do it every single day. Recap the big topics. Give you the final say on them at 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Also going to hear our conversation with Michael Silver of the NFL Network. Coming up, jam-packed 5 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. You got 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.